Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. And today's question is, what is the association between an SSRI and oral anticoagulant and the risk of bleeding? If you are on an SSRI and an oral anticoagulant, does your risk of bleeding increase? Does it decrease? Does it go up, down, all around? You ponder that question, and I'll be back in 15 seconds. Andrew Bill, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's do this thing, shall we? Today, we are looking at the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Yes, that's right, the SSRIs. And what is their risk of bleeding when the patient is also on oral anticoagulants? The SSRIs are commonly prescribed antidepressants associated with a small risk or increased risk of major bleeding. However, the risk of bleeding associated with SSRIs and oral anticoagulants has not been well defined or well laid out. We know that we see this increased risk, but it hasn't really been all put together. So now we have a population-based nested case control study that looked at patients with atrial fibrillation initiating oral anticoagulation, and the authors set out to calculate the risk of bleeding with concurrent use of an SSRI and this oral anticoagulation compared to just using oral anticoagulation alone. So far we have a population based, which means this is all just observational data study looking at what is the risk of getting oral anticoagulant versus oral anticoagulant plus an SSRI. The main outcome was the incident rate ratios of hospitalization for bleeding or death due to bleeding. Death due to bleeding is drastically different than hospitalization from bleeding. During a mean follow-up of nearly 5 years, the incidence of major bleeding with oral anticoagulant was about 28 per 100,000 person years. But the adjusted relative risk for major bleeding was 33% higher if the patient was also taking an SSRI. This translates into an absolute excess risk of 9 events per 1,000 person years, or said differently, 1 event per 110 person years. And said differently, if you treat 110 people for 1 year with a DOAC and an SSRI, you will have one more bleed that requires hospitalization or death than if those same 110 people for 1 year did not have an SSRI. This risk was similar based on various types of bleeding, intracranial, gastrointestinal, and did not vary by the potency of the SSRI. In patients with strong indications for both drugs, and I think that this is reasonable that we still have to give both drugs. I mean, the rate of dying from bleeding with SSRIs or having a hospitalization with SSRIs is increased for sure. But if they have severe depression, well, then the rate of dying from suicide is probably higher than that. So I think we still have to treat these patients, as the overall risk is still actually pretty small. The overall absolute risk is overall pretty small. But if the patient has an indication for an SSRI that's a little wishy-washy, it's a little like, well, I was sad one time when my parents died, or I was sad one time when I had a major event, or I was put on SSRI and I'm taking like, 2 milligrams once every other day, just because, you know, sometimes I feel a little down in the dumps about life, then maybe, just maybe, that is the person, that is the patient that we should try to discontinue the SSRI or the anticoagulant if it's indicated or possible. Usually the anticoagulant has a much more stringent definition for its use than SSRIs, which is why I say that we should probably have to discontinue the SSRI, because the anticoagulant is probably on for a very specific reason. I think ultimately the takeaway, bottom line for me, is there does seem to be a strong link between the use of concurrent anticoagulation and an SSRI and the rates of major bleeding that either require hospitalization or death. If it is possible to avoid this combination, then by all means, we should consider avoiding this combination and not writing for both at the same time. But because the absolute risk is pretty small. If the patient does indeed need both these medications, then it might be worth something mentioning to the patient and keeping a close eye out if the hemoglobin starts to drop. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better, one question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, Keith Quest in Questioning.